Perek Chavav of Sefer Bamidbar is a perek that seems innocuous and it doesn't demand our attention because it's mostly names and counting of numbers. The Torah says at the beginning of Perek Chavav that that Moshe is called upon Seuris Rosh Kol Hadas B'nei Yisrael. It's not the first time that Moshe has to take a census of the people of Israel. Miben Esrim Shana V'mala. And the Torah describes each Shevet, Shevet by Shevet, not only the name of the Shevet, let's say Reuven is the name of the Shevet, Bechor Yisrael, but also the B'nei Reuven. So, for example, in Pasuk Hey, the Torah mentions four sons of Reuven: Chanoch, Palu, Chetzron, and Carmi. Now, I think those four names should appear on the top of your page. No, you don't have Reuven there, but in any event, those are the four sons of Reuven in Parshas Vayigash, which describes what? Anybody know why the names of the Shvatim and their children are mentioned in Parshas Vayigash?
Coming
down to
Mitzrayim.
To Mitzrayim, correct. So these are the 70 amongst the 70 nefashos that goes down that go down to Mitzrayim. By the way, this is hot water for tea, and there are cups over there. There should be sugar on the table.
Thank you. Oh.
Okay, here's sugar. Okay. Now, if you go back to Parshas Vayigash, and something similar applies to the you'll find the beginning of Shmos, so you'll find the B'nai Shimon. Now, let's count how many sons there are to Shimon. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the reason I mention that I'm counting them is because I want to compare them to Parshas Pinchas. The Torah in Vayigash mentions the sons of Binyamin. That's on the second line of your page. How many do you count there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 sons of Binyamin. If you look here in the 26th parak of Bamidbar in Parshas Pinchas, you will find that of the Bnei Shimon, only 5 out of the 6 are mentioned. And by the way, when I say 5 out of 6, I am assuming now that Sochar, who's mentioned in Vayigash, is the same as Zerach, who's mentioned here. Again, his name changed, but it's the same person. But Ohad, I don't think, appears at all here in Parshas Pinchas. Now, if you'll take, for example, the children of Binyamin here, so you'll only find in Parshas Pinchas 5 sons of Binyamin, whereas in Vayigash you'll find 10. So Rashi is going to apply the principle of batel, meaning that some of them were completely lost. Why they were lost is a different discussion. But what I want to emphasize to you here up front is that we have to understand why these sons of the Shvatim are mentioned here. The Ramban's going to assume, he's going to work with the premise, that these sons mentioned in the parasha are what's called Roshei Mishpachos. They are the heads of families. To them, the land of Israel will be divided. So if we take Reuven as our first example, Reuven has how many sons? 4 sons. So it means that Shevet Reuven, once Yoshua divides the land after conquering it, will give Reuven a portion of land in Eretz Yisrael which is equal to all the other Shvatim. Every Shevet, according to the Ramban, gets its own equal share in Eretz Yisrael. That share is going to be subdivided 4 ways amongst the four sons of Reuven. Each son and his offspring is going to get one quarter of what was allotted for Shevet Reuven. So it doesn't matter, for example, if Chanoch has a larger family than Falu, or than Chetzron or Carmi, they're all going to get one quarter of what Reuven got. Let's go back a step. All the Shvatim got equal share in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't matter if Shevet Yehuda is larger than Shevet Shimon. It matters not. Each Shevet will get the same portion in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ramban's view. Within each portion that's allotted to each Shevet, each family of these families mentioned here in Parashas Pinchas will get an equal share, no matter what size the family is. So from the Ramban's perspective, it's very important to know who are the Rashi Mishpacha. Not only that, the Ramban says that the precondition to be considered one of the Rashi Mishpacha, it's not enough that you're one of the children of a Shevet, you're one of the Bnei Reuven, but rather you have to have been born before Yaakov Avinu went down, Shivim Nefesh Yardu Avoseinu L'Mitzrayim. So for example, let's say Reuven has four children in Eretz Canaan, and then he has a fifth in Eretz Mitzrayim. That fifth is not Rashi Mishpacha. He's not one of the heads of the Mishpacha. And one of the issues we'll have to address, according to the Ramban, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, is that fifth son, how does he get a share in Eretz Yisrael? If we divide up Reuven's chelek equally amongst these four brothers, so the fifth brother who's born in Eretz Mitzrayim, he's not beyond the Mitzrayim, he doesn't inherit within any of those four families, he doesn't descend from any of those four families, and the land was equally divided amongst the four families. But leave that question on the side for the time being.
Does it work though? Because do they have ten? There were ten sons for Binyamin. I don't think they said this in Pinchas. They split it up 10 ways. Binyamin.
Well, Binyamin has only 5 sons mentioned here in Parshas Pinchas.
Right,
that means that the land allotted to Parshas to Shevet Binyamin will divide it how many ways?
Five equal ways.
What happened to the other 5 children that were born to Binyamin and are mentioned in Vayigash, included in the number 70, because they were Yoredei Mitzrayim? Rashi says those other 5 were batel. Take a look at Rashi. First, Rashi is bothered by the name Zerach as one of the children of Shimon. That name doesn't appear at all in the list enumerated in the Shivim Nefesh that went down to Mitzrayim. So Rashi identifies Zerach with Sochar. And Rashi works very hard to explain why those two names are equal, are synonymous, so to speak. They're interchangeable. Because the word Zerach means light, and the word Sochar also means Lashon Sochar. But nevertheless, we have at the end of the day only 5 B'nai Shimon here in the Parsha. And again, we can read the Pesukim inside, but we'll take Rashi's word for it. One of the children of Shimon is completely omitted. Says Rashi, Av Mishpachas Ohad B'teila. And Rashi is going to calculate 7 Mishpachos, meaning 7 children of various Shvatim who are omitted here in Parshas Pinchas, and Rashi is going to apply to them the principle of Batel. So therefore, in the case of Binyamin, we had 10 children of Binyamin, only 5 of which appear here in Pinchas. What happened to the other 5? Betelim. Okay, what about God? In the counting of enumerating of God, Etzbon is completely missing. He's one of the 7 mishpachos that are betelos. Again, we don't know yet what happened to them. Okay. Next, if we open up to Pasuk Chaf Dalet in the same parasha that we're studying now, we'll see something interesting.
How is there more papers?
No, I'm sorry, I apologize. If I had time, which I don't, I would make more pages. So, in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, we're introducing the sons of Yisachar, and one is called Yashuv. His name doesn't appear as such in Parshas Vayigash. So Rashi says, who Yov? So Rashi identifies Yov with Yishuv. Ha'omer b'yorde Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, ki kol ha-mishpachos nikru al shem yorde Mitzrayim. All the mishpachos who are enumerated here and whose counting we're going to get because Moshe is called upon to count the mishpachos, those are identical mishpachos, and the heads of those families were Yorodei Mitzrayim. Vanolodim misham vahola, those who were born to the Shiftei Ka subsequent to the Yorida Mitzrayim, they were born in Mitzrayim, lo nikru ha-mishpachos al shmam, they do not gain the status of the leaders, the heads of the families, because they weren't born until they got to Mitzrayim. But Rashi has to admit to certain exceptions to the rule. Where were Ephraim and Menashe born?
Mitzrayim.
In Mitzrayim, and yet they have Rashi Mishpacha, whose parents weren't even born in Eretz Canaan. So certainly they weren't Yorodei Mitzrayim. So Rashi says, Shenoldu kulam b'Mitzrayim. He tells you these are exceptions. He doesn't tell you why. Then he says, V'ard v'naman b'nei Bela ben Binyamin. Amongst the mishpachos that we have over here are two grandchildren of Shiftei Kah. So let's take a look at Binyamin. Here it is, Pasuk Lamed Ches, b'nei Binyamin, Lebela, Mishpachas Abali, etc., Ashbel. Okay, these are mentioned in Parshas Vayigash. Shfufam, Chufam. And then another two Mishpachos. And who are these two Mishpachos? Ard v'Naman. Who's Ard v'Naman? The Torah identifies them as B'nai Bela. Now, who is Bela? Bela was a son of Binyamin. Ard and Naaman are grandchildren of Binyamin. And yet they're enumerated as mishpachos. So Rashi admits that they weren't born in Eretz Canaan. I'm sorry, they weren't born in Eretz Canaan before the time of Yerida Mitzrayim. But, and keep this point in mind, there are two out of the 70 nefashos whose names are Ard v'Naman, but they are not grandchildren.
They are grandchildren
of Yaakov. They are brothers. I'm saying they are not great grandchildren of Yaakov, but rather grandchildren. Meaning, in Parshas Vayigash, Ard and Naaman are mentioned together with Bela as three of the 10 children of Binyamin. So again, if you take a look at the first source on your page, you see the second line has the list of the children of Binyamin. Amongst them are Naaman and Ard. Correct? Those are children of Binyamin. What would be their relationship to two other Jews by the same names who are mentioned in Parshas Pinchas? Right, they'd be uncles and nephews. Because Bela has two children, Ard and Naaman. He also has two brothers, Ard and Naaman. The two brothers, Ard and Naaman, who are grandchildren of Yaakov, sons of Binyamin, are mentioned as part of the Yorodei Mitzrayim. Here, we find nothing about Ard and Naaman, the brothers of Bela. They're completely omitted. But rather we find Ard and Naaman, who are sons of Bela. Rashi admits they weren't born in Eretz Canaan. They were not amongst the Yorodei Mitzrayim, for sure. And there are exceptions to the rule.
You're saying this is Hebrew?
No, I didn't say that yet. Wait a minute. You're a few light years ahead of me.
Exceptions to the rule, which means there was no rule.
Well, we Rashi is going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out why Ard and Naaman are considered Rashi Mishpacha. I don't know if you'll be happy with Rashi's solution. the Ramban is going to try to offer a few other solutions.
Is it going to come to teach us anything?
Well, I see what you're driving at.
Be like the Germanic scholars. Oh, well, obviously this proves that there's more than one person. Right.
Let me say this to you, Yechiel. I don't want to give you false expectations for tonight's shiur. So I'm going to be straight with you. The Ramban al Torah has many facets to it, and my job is to choose those Rambans out of the many Rambans on any parsha that we should study together. 99 out of 100 times, I choose a Ramban because I think it has a message. Because I think it's philosophical, I think it's central, very often controversial. Tonight is the exception to the rule. So if you want to leave now, you can leave. It's okay. No, tonight is the one out of 100th time where we're doing the Rambans, and trust me, I don't even know, it could be that more than 50% of the Ramban al Torah fits into this category. It's what you call avodat nemalim, meaning the Ramban is going to work very hard on the minute details, on the techniques and the legit, to try to figure out who are the Rashi Mishpachas. And if you ask me, is there a message here? The message right now is we are trying to rack our brains and figure out, when Yoshua divided up the land, did he divide it up per capita? The Ramban says no. Did every individual member of Klal Yisrael receive the same allotment in Eretz Yisrael? According to the Ramban, the answer is no. How was the land divided? First, it was equally divided amongst the Shvatim. I would use the number 12. Why? Because Levi drops out in this context. But Yosef generates two Shvatim, that's Ephraim and Asher. So we get to the number 12. 12 equal portions. Again, don't ask me any questions from maps that you've seen from the time of Yoshua, okay? But in theory, according to the Ramban, 12 equal portions of land. Within each of those portions, 1/12, it was subdivided according to these Rashi Mishpachos. Now, the Ramban, and this may be an important message, but this is not on your page. It was on your previous page, which I gave out on Shabbos, but unfortunately I don't have that now.
I just ask, when they talk about equal portion, you can measure land, it could be measured different
right.
ways. It could be its ability to support.
What about mountains and valleys? And
that's another aspect.
Right.
Because you can't get this.
So there's a sugya in the second paragraph of Kiddushin. If you have time, if you have a couple of weeks, learn that sugya in the second paragraph of Kiddushin to figure out how the Goral was able to divide up the land in such a way that you got the portion that you wanted because you like a bikkur. And I like a har for whatever reason. You know, some people like to live in a cold country. Other people like a hot country. Here we got a little bit of both. It's a little bit lopsided, but I have to admit that today was certainly a very hot day here in Canada. So that's going to be a piece of research for you, a project. Okay, then? What we're interested in is trying to figure out who are the Rashi Mishpachos, who demanded, I shouldn't say demanded, but they were allotted equal portions as a fraction of their Shevet, regardless of, irrelevant to the number of offspring they had. Who were they? One thing I can promise you, according to Rashi, according to Ramban, they were amongst the Yordei Mitzrayim. But Rashi admits to certain exceptions. When we get to Ephraim and Asher, the whole theory falls apart. Ephraim and Asher were born where? In Mitzrayim. They weren't Yordei Mitzrayim. Now Rashi has another problem. Because when we get to Shevet Binyamin, all of a sudden, Ard and Naaman, who are children, sons to Binyamin, and were amongst the 70 Nefashos, they are not mentioned here. Instead, there are two other people mentioned who have the same name and are related to the original Ard and Naaman, but they're grandchildren of Binyamin and not children of Binyamin. That's another issue. But let me point out to you something about the Ramban that's not on your page. It was on the page I gave it on Shabbos. The first son of Reuven, mentioned here in Perek Chavav, is Chanoch. Okay, Chanoch is the Bechor of Reuven. Where is that? Here it is. Reuven v'chor Yisrael b'nei Reuven chanoch l'mishpachas chanochi. Says the Ramban, kasher nischalka haaretz l'shvatim v'natal shevet Shimon hamuot. So shevet Shimon, if I remember the calculation, somebody could pass around the chumash here. I think it's 22,000. I don't remember the exact number here at the end of the calculation. See if you could find that. Kishevet Yehuda Hamaruba. Shimon gets the same identical allotment in Eretz Yisrael, even though they were small in number, as Yehuda, which was the largest of Shvatim. Yehuda, I think, has over 50,000, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right? 57? Okay. Chelek kechelek, says the Ramban. But not only that, there was another subdivision, which was chelek kechelek, which is shava b'shava. Kach nischalto lebeis avos shel yored Mitzrayim. This, I think, encompasses everything we've said until now. The asu minachas Reuven. So how many fractions will there be, equal shares of Reuven? Four. Dalit chalokit. V'ayachelik mishpachas hachanuchi kechelik mishpachas hapalui v'chetzon v'karmi. Afal pishen in shavas b'mispar shemus l'gulosa. We won't find that each of the four sons of Reuven had an equal number of offspring, but nevertheless they got equal portions in the land of Israel, each one receiving a quarter of what was allotted to Shevet Reuven. This entire parak, in all its complexity, says the Ramban, is part of the Torah because we are counting those families in Israel which will receive an equal share in their Shevet's portion of Eretz Yisrael. Sheyimnu ha-mishpacha li-yardei Mitzrayim. In other words, usually the Torah, when it counts, for example, the Machzah Shekel, it says Ligilgalosam. We count per capita. Here you won't find the term in this Torah. Why? Because we're not interested in the per capita, we're interested in the Batei Av. Fine. V'chein Kula. Then the Ramban says something which, again, I don't know how you'll relate to this. I was taken, this jarred me a little bit. The Ramban wants to know why each mishpacha will be allotted its own chelek, which means that if you are one of the offspring of Chanoch, you will be living in that area which Yeshua will give you at the time of Lucas, which is the area of Chanoch. If on the other hand you belong to what? Palu. So you'll be in a different part. Says the Ramban, V'chol mishpacha u'mishpacha hayachelka b'makom echad v'lo tis'arev b'mishpacha acheres. The Sfarno at the end of Chumash Bamidbar emphasizes this concept, that the mishpachos were meant to be separate entities. Now this surely falls on, is alien to our ears. Although I have to admit, in this city, there seems to be a tremendous emphasis on mishpachos. I mean,
some get the chiyot of Rogers and Lawrence, some get the chiyot of Borocrest.
Why the emphasis on mishpacha? So I want to suggest the following idea. What do you want to say?
There is a message in what you're teaching tonight.
Yes.
There they give it.
And the reason I added this is because I didn't get a chance to talk about it on Shabbos, and even though I wasn't planning to talk about it tonight, because we don't have that much time and there's a lot we want to do tonight, but since you mentioned the message, I thought I would throw this in.
So it's important who the mishpachos are. Right. That's important. Why? Arid and Naaman, are they the...
Why is it important to create this indigenous, this independent entity? I think the answer is because the Torah wants to develop in Klal Yisrael different midos, different toros, different unique attributes that form this glorious whole called Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael. We've spoken on many occasions about the concept of kol, right? That Hashem Berach Es Avram Bakol. Kol represents the whole entity together of Knesset Yisrael. The best way of developing unique attributes, unique midos, is through the mishpachos. Every mishpacha in Klal Yisrael is meant to have its own base medrash. What do I mean by its own base medrash? A base medrash has its own unique flavor. It emphasizes certain things. There's always a judgment of what's more important and what could be less important. There's a certain ruach, a certain spirit. You know, you have one base medrash which is full of people that are levadic, they're outgoing, they're passionate, they jump, they dance, they sing. We would probably identify more with the chassidim. Then you have the other kind of base medrash where you could hear a pin drop. You know, everyone's learning, I don't know what they're learning exactly on their computers, or maybe they're doing research scholarships and they're writing papers and so forth. So that's more the, you know, the Litvish approach, I would say. You know, that every base medrash has its own flavor. You know, and some base medrash, they emphasize Eretz Yisrael. You know, that becomes central. In others, Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, loses a little bit in the shuffle. And some emphasize the way you dress. I know one yeshiva where my mother may she rest in peace, Slobodka, but this yeshiva is in America and it's an offspring of Slobodka. So my mother would go into a store with me and she would stop a guy and say, "Do you learn in Yeshiva X?" And then I said to Mom, "How did you know he would?" "You could tell by the hat." In Slobodka, they wore top hats. Okay. You aren't called the yeshiva bacha, you were called the yeshiva man. It's like Superman, you know. So there are different approaches. You know, there was Navardic, where people put themselves down. You know, it was all based on shiftless order. The mishpacha, says the Ramban, the way I'm taking it, is the vehicle through which Klal Yisrael produces. It's almost like an incubator to produce those different strands and those different ashkafot. That's what I'd like to suggest. All right, let's go now right away into the Ramban, which is the third source on your... No, actually, the fourth source on your page. And the Ramban is going to mention Rashi. So first he mentions Rashi, who identifies Tzohar with Tzohar. Zerach, excuse me, with Tzohar, my mistake. And Ohad is completely lost. Five children of Binyamin are completely lost. This is all a repeat of Rashi. He's quoting Rashi. Od Kosav. Then he quotes another Rashi. Rabbi Shavel points out that this other Rashi is in Pasuk Chav Dalet. So if you go up one paragraph, you'll see Rashi on Pasuk Chav Dalet. Right, that starts with Yov and Yishuv. And the Ramban quotes Rashi as saying, well, let's read the Rashi. And then we'll see the Ramban. Kol ha-mishpachos nikro al shem yoredim Mitzrayim. Hanolodim Yisham v'holu, we said, are not the Rashi mishpachos. And then on the third line, Rashi says, u'matzasi, the Yesodo shall Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan was one of the forerunners of Rashi. He was one of Rashi's Rebbeim. Why are Bnei Bela, that's Ard V'Naaman, counted as Rashi Mishpacha? And they were born where? In Mitzrayim. I'm sorry, yeah, Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
Says Rav Moshe Darshan, Sheyarda Iman Limitzrayim. Their mother, who was the wife of Binyamin, went down to Mitzrayim. Kisha Haisamu Beres Mehem. I guess she had twins in her belly, right? So what was the status of Ard Vinamon vis-a-vis Yarday Mitzrayim?
They weren't born yet.
They were fetuses. I don't know what the plural of fetuses. Feti. No. Fetus. We'll call it fetuses. Okay. Embryos.
Fetus.
Ulachach. Nechleku Limishpachos. Therefore the land of Israel was divided amongst these Mishpachos. Naaman and Ard, who were not born in Mitzrayim, in Eretz Canaan, but were conceived in Eretz Canaan. Kechetzron v'chamol, and they got the same exact portion as the other brothers of the same Shevet.
It doesn't work because Yecheved, right? She was the.
Oh wow, Joe, you're anticipating all the kashas for tonight. That's great. Okay, we'll get back to Yocheved soon. So this is Rav Moshe Darshan quoted by Rashi, and Rashi says imagadahi hare tov, meaning if he's quoting Chazal, okay, what can I say? The laugh, but if he's not quoting Chazal, if it's just Rav Moshe Darshan's own chidush, Omer Ani, I would say something else. Shahayu lebela b'nei bonim harbe. He, Bela, had many, many children. Umishnayim alolu ard v'naman yotza mikol echad mishpacha rabba. But the two most fruitful of Bela's children, which would be Binyamin's grandchildren, were Ard v'Naaman, the Nikru Toldos Shar HaBonim, and the progeny, the generations of the other children of Bela, Al Shem Bela. So when we see that one of the Mishpachos of Binyamin is Bela, that refers to Bela and all his offspring, with the exception of two of his offspring, who represent large mishpachos. V'toldos hashnayim halalu nikru al shmam. So Rashi now introduces a new criterion, which allows you to become Rashi mishpachos, one of the Rashi mishpachos, even though you aren't born or even conceived in Eretz Canaan. So not only are you left out of the counting of Shivim Nefesh Yardav Asayim Mitzrayim, you were born in Mitzrayim, because Rashi does not buy in to Rav Moshe Darshan's view that these two, Naaman and Ard, were conceived in Eretz Canaan. He just doesn't buy into it. Now, the Ramban quotes both Rashis. He says, Vani Tomolov. I don't understand what Rashi's saying. He says, She'ein HaKusha, what motivated Rav Moshe Darshan, Bavur She'imna Kosev Mishpachas HaBal'i Li'atzma U'mishpachas HaRdi U'mishpachas HaNabi Bonav, his children, meaning the children of Bel Li'atzman. He says, he thinks Rashi was asking Akasha, how can you count as a Rashi Mishpacha both a father and a son? I mean, every mishpacha has to have one head, so it's either the father or the son. It can't be both. In the case of Bela, two of his sons are counted as Rashi Mishpacha. Says the Ramban, that's not the kasha that was bothering Rav Moshe Darshan. Ki zeh hayim ipnei heyosam limishpachos kidivrei harav. That's because they themselves, meaning Ard and Naaman, had their own great families. So Rashi is answering a different question than the question that Rav Moshe Darshan was asking. Sure, Rav Moshe Darshan could have accepted the answer of Rashi that these two children of Bela were fathers of large families. But he was asking a different question. V'chein Yasu b'bnei Yehudu b'bnei Menashe v'Ephraim v'chein b'nei Osher. Aval im nomar shenoldu Ard v'Naaman lebela ben Binyamin achrei. Please underline those words. Achrei redoso l'Mitzrayim. What bothers Rav Moshe Darshan is the premise that the children of Bela, these two of the children of Bela named Ard and Naaman, were born after they settled in Mitzrayim, let's say months later, in Goshen, because the criterion for being counted as a Rashi Mishpacha is that you're included under the Shivim Nefesh Yodos Sein Mitzrayim. With the exception of Ephraim and I, but to create other exceptions, we don't do such a thing. Because Ephraim and Asher, we give him. Yeah, Yaakov Avinu says, Kiruv Evishim and Yuli. No, Yaakov himself gave two portions, one for Ephraim, one for Menashe. But the rest of the allotment and the rights and privileges to Eretz Yisrael was given to Yardei Mitzrayim. So the children of Bela, who were born after the Yeridah of Mitzrayim, were not worthy of fitting the criteria to be counted as Rashi Mishpacha. V'im nachshav shenoldu lo kodim l'chein. And if we're going to suggest that maybe they were born earlier, is you Yosef Yishivim Nefesh? Then you're going to add the two children of Bela, Ard and Naaman, to the counting of what? Of the Yardei Mitzrayim, and you can jack it up from 70 to 72. Correct?
But isn't 70 like a be'erech? It's like mamash b'diyuk 70.
I guess he's saying that. You know, he's saying that. And we'll see. We're going to see about another woman who's not, who Lechora was not born in Eretz Canaan. She was not in the Yardei Mitzrayim, and yet perhaps she is counted. I mean, every nefesh is counted. The Torah says, nefashos, you know, we're counting nefashos, so we're not rounding it off. Ki oz hayu b'nei Binyamin asara, then included in the 70 should be not only Binyamin's 10 children, but v'yela b'nei Bela shnayim, and another two, and they're not mentioned in the counting, they don't calculate it in. Based on this question, al-kein darash Ravi Moshe darshan shohaisa imam mu'uberes mehen. Oh, says the Ramban, let's analyze Rabbeinu Moshe HaDarshan. And there's something very sharp going on. He says, their mother was pregnant with them when she went down to Mitzrayim. They weren't born yet. So the Torah couldn't possibly have said, B'shivim v'shtayim nefesh yardu Mitzrayim. That would make sense. Because the nefesh of the Ubar is not considered a full nefesh yet, as far as the pasuk counting the Yardei Mitzrayim. But nevertheless, Khan here in Parshas Pinchas, with regard to Rosh Mishpacha, Yechash from Lenolot. In other words, there are two issues and two dimensions.
That means they were thought of as if they were born. Is that the
correct correlation? It depends what your issue is. If you're asking the question, are they Yardei Mitzrayim? The answer is a flat no. They were embryos, but they weren't born yet. So they couldn't be considered nefashos Yardei Mitzrayim. But if you're asking, can they be considered as Rashi Mishpacha? Rav Moshe Darshan claims that here you have a different criterion. As long as you were somewhere in the world of Eretz Canaan before the move was made to relocate to Mitzrayim, you already have a connection. Let's say it like this. In America, in the United States, I don't know if it's the same in Canada, unless they changed it even in the United States, I don't think they did. You cannot run for president of the United States unless you were born in America.
We've heard about that.
I don't think they've changed that yet, have they?
No.
Can you be prime minister here without having been born here?
No, they just changed U.S. for Obama. That's
okay. Right. What happens in Eretz Yisrael? Let's just, again, let's have bare toes, and I don't mean, don't take me literally. You cannot run for prime minister of the state of Israel unless you're born in Eretz Yisrael. What would be the status of Ard and Naaman, B'nai Bela, as far as running for prime minister of Israel?
They'd be out of it.
No. Says the Rav Moshe Darshan, they could run. Why? Because they're considered as if they were no Ladim. Right? Kinoladim v'Eretz Canaan. Why they know Ladim v'Eretz Canaan? Because they were already somewhere in the veldt at the time when the people, the Shvatim, were still with Yaakov Avinu in Eretz Canaan. That gives them rights, not to run for prime minister, that's not what Rav Moshe Dashen was thinking about, but that gives them rights to inherit an equal portion in Eretz Yisrael. Technically, can the Torah allow itself the luxury of enumerating these names and including it in the Nova, kicking it in? That we can't do. That we have to be a nolad mamash. But to give you a right or a connection to Eretz Yisrael that grants you privileges, that you are now a Rosh Mishpach as far as what? Chalukas Eretz Yisrael? You belong to Eretz Yisrael. So, again, if you're looking for a message in Yechiel, we want to expand your connection to Eretz Yisrael. Some people say, well, I own an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. Other people say, that's not enough, you got to live in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, but I live in Eretz Yisrael and I travel back and forth. That's not enough. You know, there are different madrigas. What we're doing now is trying to expand your connection to Eretz Yisrael. If you were already an embryo in Eretz Yisrael, you know, your source, your roots are in Eretz Yisrael. You're already considered Miyardei Mitzrayim. As far as what, says Rav Moshe Darshan? As far as getting an equal chelik. An equal chelik to Bela. Imagine, a father who was included in Yardei Mitzrayim, he was already born at the time of Eretz Kanan before they went down to Mitzrayim, he will get no more of Eretz Yisrael than his two sons who were in an embryonic stage at the time that they came down to Mitzrayim. So again, whereas Rashi is going with it, saying that Arad v'Naman get rights to Eretz Yisrael, why? Because they were great multitudes of families. The Ramban is not interested in that approach, because the Ramban thinks that your numbers are irrelevant. The Ramban has a structure of Shvatim, okay, that's equally divided, and then the subsets are Batei Avos, Rashi Mishpachos. The Ramban is not interested in counting how large or how small your group is. We just want to create the group. Are you a Mishpacha Mishpachas Yardei Mitzrayim? The Ramban says, that's the point of Rav Moshe Hadarshan. You are Miroshei Mishpachos Sheyardei Mitzrayim because your mother was pregnant with you when they went down to Mitzrayim. Clear? Okay. Does the Ramban therefore buy into Rav Moshe Hadarshan? Does he accept him hook, line, and sinker? He, at this point, is critiquing Rashi for attacking Rav Moshe Hadarshan. The Ramban thinks that Rashi's logic in, I should say, critiquing Rabbeinu Moshe Hadarshan is an incorrect logic. Rashi misunderstood what Rav Moshe Hadarshan was trying to darshan. But at the end of the day, the Ramban doesn't like Rav Moshe Hadarshan either. And he almost copycats Rashi. Take a look at the end of the paragraph on Nitamalov. He says 2.5 lines before the end of the Imagadahi. If Rav Moshe Hadarshan is quoting an Agadah, meaning a Chazal Medrash, is Nisbol Adochak Lekabla. We'll have to tolerate something which is very difficult to accept. And here he sort of expands. Gives a, like he reveals a little bit of what's in his deck of cards. Why is it so difficult to accept Rav Moshe Hadarshan? He says, because it's Tarech Od Lomar, we're going to have to further say, Ki Yocheved, oh, here's the kasha. Yocheved is counted amongst the Yardei Mitzrayim. But Yocheved is born where?
Ben Achamok.
Wait, you're giving away the answer. We're not up to that answer yet. Yocheved is born in Mitzrayim. So according to Rav Moshe Hadarshan, if you're in this limbo state of being an embryo, but you're born in Mitzrayim, you are not listed, you're not enumerated amongst the Yardei Mitzrayim. So what's the difference, says the Ramban, according to Rav Moshe Hadarshan, between Ard and Naaman on the one hand, and Yocheved on the other hand? Yocheved is an embryo at the time of Yeridah Mitzrayim, yet she's counted amongst the 70. Arad and Naaman are not even mentioned amongst the 70 because they would be number 71 and 72. Oh, so now Livia's already given away the answer. The Ramban says, Nitztarech Od Lomar, we're going to have to force another issue, Ki Yocheved Nolda Ben Achomos. Now you can imagine, if you've gone to the old city, you know, you have the Shar Tzion and you have Shar Hashpot and all the, right? So you can imagine in those days, you know, entering into the city of Paro, and there was this gigantic gate, and I don't know exactly how this happened, but Yocheved was born punked at that gate. So they hadn't yet entered into what? Into Mitzrayim. I mean, I can't say that she was born in Eretz Canaan, but on the other hand, she doesn't have the deficit of being born abroad in Mitzrayim. So he says that since she was born before they actually went through the Choma, the Yomi Kansam Shom, on the very day they entered into these walls, Lachain, therefore, she'll be included in the enumeration of 70. The Eileh, but these fellows, these chaps, that's Naaman and Ard, Noldu Achrei HaChadoshim. They were born a few months later, and they were settling, the Jews had already settled in Mitzrayim. Vim Eina Kabbalah, but if this is not something that we have to accept from Arabeim, Kabbalah Shavoseinu, Nidches Varaso Zos Pishtei Yotan. The Ramban is not willing, on a Svara level, if it's part of the Mesorah, to accept this distinction between, are you amongst the Yordei Mitzrayim as far as you're counting, you know, in the enumeration of 70? And are you amongst the Yordei Mitzrayim as being justifiably having the credentials of being the Roshei Batei Av? The Rabbi doesn't see that distinction. We wanted to suggest that maybe Rabbeinu Moshe Darshan is talking about the technicality of counting these two children of Bela amongst the Yordei Mitzrayim, because even if their mother was pregnant, you can't call them Yordei Mitzrayim, but nevertheless they are connected to Eretz Canaan, and if they have rights to be Rosh Mishpachos and get an equal chelik in Eretz Canaan. The Ramban is not willing to go that way. Either because the Ramban is bothered by Yocheved, he doesn't see it consistently working out with Yocheved, or because the Ramban holds that the fact that you were an embryo, that doesn't give you any rights whatsoever. You're not amongst the Yordei Mitzrayim, and that's a technical prerequisite for being Rashi Mishpachos. Aval Nuchal Lomar, but rather, says the Ramban, we could say the following. Ki Erd V'Naman B'nei Binyamin Mesu B'lo Bon. Joe, here's what you were approaching. Is it coincidental that Bela has two sons whom he names by the identical names of their two uncles? Well, why not? You can name after an uncle. But the Ramban adds another point. These uncles died without children. Ubela Ratza lahakim li achiv shem b'Yisrael. V'kara shem banav al shem echav hamesim.
Nice.
It's nice. But at this point, is it anything more than nice? I'll tell you what I mean by that. What I'm asking is, okay, Bela did a nice thing. So give me Ashikoyach and come over to him at the Kiddush when he puts out the Lekach and say, Mazel Tov, on the birth of your two twin boys. I think you did a nice thing by naming them after your brothers, their uncles, who passed away at a young age. Good, so add another L'chaim, but is that enough to give them rights to therefore be Rosh HaMishpachos? That's why I think the Ramban goes a step further. The Ulai. Again, this is all a figment. I always tell you that the Ramban is fantastic. He would have gotten an A+ in a literature course. Because what they taught us in literature was to try to read a piece of literature and fill in the missing blanks. In other words, you have to be creative in reading between the lines. This was, amongst other things, the Ramban's genius in his Pirush Al Torah. He reads between the lines, and he's very creative, very original. So he comes up, based on Parshas Pinchas, one line in Parshas Pinchas, with an entire fantastical story. And he says that not only did Naaman and Ard, the brothers of Bela, die without children, something that we don't know, but more than that, Hayayavam b'nishoseyem, he, Bela, married the wives of Ard v'namon. That's called
Yibum.
Ki hu abchor. Oh, Ramban has to give a little strength here. Why would it fall to his lot, Bela's lot, to marry the two widows of his brothers?
Because he was next in line to do it.
Because he was the oldest of the... Now, how does the Ramban know that amongst the 10 children of Binyamin, Bela was the oldest? Which birdie whispered that in his ear?
Oh, I get where he's going now.
First one mentioned.
He just
correct.
Figured it out.
He's assuming it's the first one mentioned.
That's how they're going to get their status.
Right? B'nai Binyamin, the first one on the list of 10 is Bela. Correct? Now, the Ramban, if you take a look at the end of Parshas Noach, when he speaks about the family of Terach, Avi Avram, he's also very careful about reading the sequence of the brothers as they appear to figure out who's the Bechor. So this is something that the Ramban does over and over again. Oh, says the Ramban, if this is what's going on over here, there's a whole mitzvah of Yibum. And by the way, this is not the first time we've discussed Yibum in the Ramban. The Ramban is of the opinion that Yibum predated the Torah by many, many centuries. Vaya Ard v'Naman b'nei Bela l'roshei mishpachos, the children of Bela who were now born through an act of Yibum and were called on the names of their uncles l'roshei mishpachos. What was the point why did they get appointed as roshei mishpachos? Lahakim shame li ar ard v'naman b'nei Binyamin yardei Mitzray. Now, I'm not sure what the Ramban means. See, I want to offer two possibilities. Either the Ramban means that this was a way of further strength, accomplishing the goal of lahakim shame liach. You know, it's the tragedy of a person who dies without children. It's an unspeakable tragedy from the Torah's perspective. The Torah gave the parasha of Yavam, of Yibum, and we want to find, or the Torah wants to find, another additional way of accomplishing the same goal. We want to accomplish that goal in as many ways as we can, so that the Niftarim, you know, those who died without children, will still be alive, so to speak. And how do we give them life? By appointing them, if I could use that term, as Rashi Mishpachos. How do I appoint them as Rashi Mishpachos? The answer is because their names are perpetuated. How are they perpetuated? Because A, the mitzvah of Yibum was for that goal, and I guess within the same family unit, as we spoke before about the family unit, Bela, one of their brothers, was miyaving their wives, so the child was Nikral Shmom. And number two, they, the children of Bela, insofar as they were substitutes for their uncles, they would get the same status as their uncle. The privilege of being Rashi Mishpachos, as we said, guarantees them an equal chelik in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, that's great.
That's one way of learning the Ramban. I would like to suggest another possible way of learning this Ramban. And this is more metaphysical, or shall we call it Kabbalistic. Maybe what the Ramban is saying is that what happens in Yibum is that the child born out of Yibum is that same person who passed away. Now you'll ask me, how could that be? The answer is because we know that a human being is made up of two parts. Man is a duality. He's number one, a physical body, and number two, he's also a neshama. So I think what the Ramban is implying here, and the Kabbalistic notion of what Yibum is all about, is to continue the neshama in this world in a different goof. And that's why it's so important to give the same name, because the name reflects the identity of the person. A name is not just, you know, mabakach, the way, let's say, the goyim maybe think, you know, give him a nice name. That's not the way we see it. You know, naming a baby is a heavy issue. Some Bali Kabbalah claim that when a father gives a name to his child, a malach comes down and makes sure that he gets it right. Now, I don't know, I never experienced a malach, but I can tell you, in one case out of my six, I was about to give a different name, and I don't know what happened to me, But as I was up there at the thing, I mean, and when I came back to tell my wife what her daughter's name was, like, she was a little, but at the end, my wife was molded to me that I made the right choice decision, and because we found out later that the name that we had thought about was not a good one. It wasn't an appropriate name. So I don't know. I can't tell you for sure that there was a Malach there, but it was a little bit strange that literally at the last moment I made a switcheroo, you know. If the Ramban is based on that Kabbalistic notion, then what we're saying is that this Ard V'Naaman, the grandchildren of Binyamin, were actually the original Ard V'Naaman, the children of Binyamin, albeit in a different goof. But the essence of man is Vayipach V'Apav, is the Nishmas Chaim. So it was the same. So I don't know. The Ramban now goes on. I'll keep you for another few minutes and I'll let you go. And he offers a second interpretation. The creativity of the Ramban is fascinating. I don't even know if we're going to get to his third interpretation.
Isn't it a third one?
Yeah, there's going to be a third one, but let's do the second one. What was?
We did already two.
No, this is the Ramban's first one, I think. Now he's going to say the second one. Did I miss something? No.
I thought we did two.
Well, we did Rashi, Rabbein Moshe Darshan. And now we're up to the second one of the Ramban. Vanochon v'enai ki namon v'ard asher yimne b'vnei binyamin shom v'parshas v'elishmos heim b'nei bonov b'nei b'no habchar bela k'moshe b'furish kat. Now, Yechiel, I know you're not going to like this, but it's very creative. You got to give the Ramban.
I
never would have thought that, you know, of this idea in a million years. Very creative. The Ramban now wants to suggest that the Naaman and Ard of this parsha are the same exact Naaman v'Ard of Parshas Vayigash, which is also the beginning of Shmos. And now he's going to employ the principle of what we call B'nei Bonim Harayan Kimbonim, which means that the grandchildren are very often considered bonim. So the Torah would not be contradicting itself if in one place, in one parish, in one context, it would call so-and-so a ben, and in another context it would call him a grandson. And they're both the same. Because b'nei bonim areim kibonim. Now, you might say, give it a break. I mean, can you prove to me that the Torah goes ahead and calls a grandson, a son? And the Ramban has a proof. Because the Torah says that Lavan, if you opened up the Breishis Chavtes, is called the son of Nachar. Well, that's not true. Lavan's father was called Besuel. Besuel was the son of Nachar. How could the Torah then say Lavan ben Nachar? And the answer is, because a grandson is called a son. He gives you another proof, but this is more complicated. In Divrei Hayomim Aleph, the Pasuk in Tanakh reviews, you know, the generations starting from Adam Arishon, and it goes up to Shem, and the children of Shem are listed here: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 9 sons of Shem. Okay. Vehine, says the Ramban, Eila Arboa Hachronim, the last 4, that's Utz and Chul and Geter and Meshech, were B'nai Bonov. They were grandchildren. How he knows they were grandchildren, for that we'd have to learn Divrei Yomim and go through the Psukim very carefully. But be that as it may, the Ramban has chosen a number of precedents and proofs to demonstrate that sometimes the Torah will call someone a Ben. Sometimes the same person is called a ben aben, and there's no contradiction. Oh, but the Ramban himself, the intellectual honesty, he critiques himself. He says, if that be the case, then in this parasha the Torah should be consistent. He says, "V'afal pishalo osachem b'bnei peretz u'bnei bria." Why is it that dafka here in the case of Binyamin, the Torah goes out of its way to call Binyamin's grandchildren, children of Binyamin? The Torah didn't do that all the time. Ulai, says the Ramban. Whenever you see the word Ulai, you know that he's adding to the storyline, you know, a creative idea. Ulai noldu al birchei binyamin, which literally means, but you shouldn't take it literally, this is an idiomatic phrase, that they were born on the thighs of Binyamin. That's a phrase meaning they were raised by Binyamin. In other words, Binyamin had a great impact on these two grandchildren. Just like we speak about Yaakov's impact on Ephraim Umanashe, because for the last 17 years of his life, Yaakov in Mitzrayim dedicated himself to teaching Ephraim and Menashe. And therefore they were like Reuven and Shimon, they were like children. And where does the Ramban find a similar concept? Ve'chashev lo, the Torah considers the grandchildren in their relationship to Binyamin, the grandfather, kiderech, similar to Ve'ela, you remember this pasuk? At the beginning of Parashas of Sefer Bamidbar, the Eila told us Aaron and Moshe. Does anybody know what comes left afterwards? Who's mentioned afterwards? The children of Moshe or the children of Aaron? Elazar and Isamar, who are the children of Aaron? But so, but the pasuk says the Eila told us Moshe. These are the children of Moshe. Excellent. Kol Melamed Ben Benot Torah is my love Koski Yoldo. So it means that Elazar and Isamar learned Torah at the tutelage, at the feet of their uncle Moshe, and therefore they're considered like children of Moshe. Oh, he takes another stab at it. Bavur she hayu bnei Binyamin rabim shayu shmone. I'm sorry. He says shayu shmone tafel hamid lerov. Shmone tafel hamid lerov. So it means that some of the children of Binyamin were less important than the others. He doesn't exactly say why. I'm going to let you go, but if you have the... I'm going to have to borrow this. Oh, it didn't come out on any of them? Does anybody have page 2 that came out that's legible? Yeah, I'm sorry if I could just borrow it for a minute. V'aldera chasvori yitochin od lomar. This is already the third interpretation of the Ramban. Shalomona akosav ha-mishpachos liyordim Mitzrayim levadom. Wow. Now the Ramban is willing to reject the premise that was holy of holies, that he began this whole discussion with, that the mishpachos were, had to be, that was a prerequisite, the yordim Mitzrayim. Ki gavan olodim Mitzrayim. Meyoso yom v'elech. Even those who were born subsequent to Bnei Yisrael entering into Mitzrayim, Monel and Mishpachos. Kamo Shasav Ephraim Menashe. We know that that's true for Ephraim Menashe. Why not see Ephraim Menashe not as the exception to the rule, but rather as the rule? The Ein Tam Lasos Kein Bavur Heyosam B'Mitzrayim. Then if the rule is that you could only be a Rashi Mishpacha if you were born in Eretz Canaan, why count Ephraim and Asher and their children as Rashi Mishpacha? Ki li eis ha-yirida ro'i she-yimnu kulam le-mispar echad v'yasa mishpachos mishivim nofesh v'chein yimna akos b'chol mokum yordi Mitzrayim v'chein b'nei bela achri chein noldu avala inyan ki hoya aminik v'yisrael lasus lehem Rashi b'tei ovos Yichsiachsu kol yotze yirecho liolam el ishahu v'yikare al shmo lichvodo kasha yasu gamkein hayom hakol yishmeilu v'chol Yisrael adorim v'artzosam v'yikare kulam l'mishpachos Ibn Ezra, Ibn Shoshan. That's in the Islamic countries, that's what they call it, the Av of the Mishpach. V'zeo shenemar eile roshei bote avos ki me'es asher paru v'rov Mitzrayim. So the Ramban in his third interpretation says that once the people of Israel settled in Mitzrayim, they decided, it kind of evolved in an actual way, who would be the Rashi Mishpachos, who were the most significant people, and we'd call them the godfathers of various families, such that all the members of that family would look up to him as the, what word am I looking for? As the leader.
Mentor.
As the what?
The mentor.
The mentor. There's another word I'm looking for, but I can't. What?
Nasi?
No, I'm just saying that even amongst Goyim you'll find this, that there's some a patron. I think that would be the
patriarch.
Word. Patriarch. Right, the patriarch of the family. So the Ramban says that the Rashi Mishpachos were the patriarchs of each family, and that didn't require that they be one of the Yordai Mitzrayim. We saw that already by Ephraim Menashe, and they would get their share in each chiluk. Again, we'll stop here. There's a lot more to do. I just wanted to again point out to you that the Ramban, he's not hesitant. He doesn't. He's not inhibited against, you know, getting his hands dirty, you know, right into the, you know, you'd say that this whole issue is so technical and so logistical and minute. Even something like this is Torah. We have to reconcile it, look at the two parshias, try to see how we can fit it all together. Okay, this represents, by the way, a major chunk of the Ramban on Parshas Pinchas. So if you're saying a shir on Ramban al Torah, you have no choice but to learn these Rambans. And I think the Ramban gets a great yashar koach for pointing out how, you know, something that we wouldn't have focused on and spending so much time and energy with so much creative ideas to fill in the missing piece of the puzzle. That's also an aspect of the Ramban that we don't usually emphasize here, but we should. Okay? I want to thank everyone.